So I have a question before we start. Before we start delving into this, I have a question. Because in verse 18, we see Jesus asking a simple question: who do the crowds say that I am? And I want us to think about this, because I think we can turn that question back to ourselves. And we can say, who do you say that I am? You see, for ourselves, we can look at Jesus and say, yes, he was a good man. We can look at the accounts we read in the Bible, and we can say, yes, Jesus, he performed miracles. But there's more than that. There's more than that. And we can see here that they started to say, actually, is he John the Baptist? Maybe Elijah's come back. Maybe it's an old prophet. Actually, when they were asked the question, the crowd, there were a number of different answers. But look at what Peter's answer was. When we ask ourselves, who do we say Jesus is? Is Jesus just someone in history that's really important? Is he someone that did amazing things? Or do we respond like we see Peter responded? You see, Peter knew. Peter was able to answer. And Peter said, you are the Christ of God. And so what does that mean? What does that mean? Peter understood that Jesus was not an ordinary man. Jesus wasn't just a great man. He wasn't a man like John the Baptist, who was a messenger, who was a prophet. Instead, Jesus was the Son of God and is the Son of God. Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And the question is for all of us, whether we've spent our lives coming to church, whether we are here on one or two occasions. I remember before I became a Christian, I only went to church for hatches, matches and dispatches. Yeah? For christenings, for weddings and for funerals. And my concept of who Jesus was completely wrong. Because I thought Jesus, yeah, actually, I just thought he did some amazing things. But I didn't believe and I didn't realise that Jesus was and is the Son of God. So I just want us to think about that. Today we're not going to look at that part of the passage. But I think throughout this we can think, and we should ask ourselves the question, who do we think Jesus is? Because it's a life-changing question. It's the most important thing that we can ask ourselves. If we do nothing else in life, if we do nothing else of any importance in life but answer that question rightly, then we've done the right thing. This, you know, we are asked thousands of questions in our lives, and we have to make hundreds of thousands of decisions in our lives. And the most important decision we can make is realizing, is turning to Jesus, is actually accepting and understanding that Jesus is the Son of God, because it's life-changing. But I want us to just ask ourselves a question. For those of us that are following Christ, for those of us that may have been following Christ for years, are we following Jesus without any look back? Are we ready to leave the world behind to really follow Jesus, even if it feels sometimes that no one is coming with us? And you know, I ask myself that question sometimes, and I don't like the answer that I give. Because what we're going to do, we're going to look at the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke this morning and look at the issue of truly following Christ. Not just saying we do, not just turning up to church on a Sunday, but truly following Christ. I want us this morning to just have a fresh look at what it means to give it all over to Jesus, to give everything to Jesus, not just to give part of our life, not just to give a Sunday morning, not just to give a small bit. And do you know what? These things are all good. Turning up to church is fantastic. We, you know, yes, we need to encourage each other to do it. And getting involved in the different groups through the week. going to prayer meeting. These are all great things. But all these things on their own, they don't make us a Christian. Instead, truly following Christ, we should give our all. It should be every part of our life. It should be when we wake up and this is talking about me. When I wake up and I'm really grumpy in the morning, and I'm not good in the morning, until I've had a couple of coffees in me, I am not good. But I need to be praising God and living for God when I'm grumpy and wishing I was still in bed. I need to praise God throughout the day. Yeah, actually, I'm grumpy in the morning and I'm grumpy late at night when I'm tired as well. So it's not good, is it? But the point is, you know, we can all identify, can't we, about times that we are really, yeah, we're positive. And do you know what? Some Sundays I'm really fired up. Yes, this is great. But do you know what? A Monday morning can be quite difficult. And so I want us to think about what it's really like to live for God. And do you know what? It's not going to be an easy message. I might tread on some toes. Hopefully I will come back because I'm down for just before Christmas coming back. So hopefully that won't be scrubbed. But you know, no one wants to hear about the cost of being a disciple because it's actually quite difficult. We'd love to hear, wouldn't we? You'd love to hear how easy it is to live for Christ. But we all know that actually it can be a struggle sometimes. It's a real encouragement living for Christ, but it is also, if we're doing it right, it can be costly. It is costly. So, as we've looked in our Bible at Luke 9, we've been able to read about what it's really like, and especially about denying, and this is verse 23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. But I also want to read some verses from 57 to 62. And I apologise in advance for whoever's doing that section in a few weeks' time. Might even be my father-in-law, so I might be in trouble. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And apologies, I just realised I've read that in the NIV, and you're in the, I can't remember, which one? New King James, sorry. That's why I purposely don't bring my Bible, actually, with me, because I've done that before. I've picked up my Bible, and I like to use yours. Anyway, let me just carry on with those verses. Okay, so when we read those verses, one word comes to mind, okay? One word comes to mind when we read those verses, and it's the word comfort. I mentioned it earlier on in the service about how we can feel very comfortable. And I think we are too comfortable, all of us, I think we get all too comfortable in our walks with God. Today, I want us to look at three different areas where I think comfort gets in the way of us truly living good Christian lives. First of all, material comfort. And before I get too far with this, you know, I need to say I'm a big fan of comfort. I think it's nice having a house that shelters us from the rain. It's even more important when we live in the UK. Less of a problem if you're in Spain, Graham. But it's more important if you live in the UK, have a roof over your head. I can see that. So I like that. I like eating a good meal. I like driving my car with the heating on. I had it on this morning. But the point is, I think all of us, for all of us, materialism, material things can get in the way and they can take a foothold in our lives. And do you know what? Some of us have a lot more than others. That's absolutely true. But then compared to many countries, countries where they do not have food to put on their plate, where they hardly have enough clothes to clothe themselves, I think when we compare ourselves with them, we are very materialistic as a nation. And it can interfere, and I can see how it can interfere with our spiritual growth for many of us. you know, how much of our time is spent thinking about the next thing or thinking about, I'd love these clothes and I'd like this and so on. You know, we love to go shopping. The ladies here may even say that they love shopping more. I love to get out of the shops as quick as possible. But do you know what? For me, I can spend ages in Currys and PC World and whatever. So I'm just as bad. It's just I'm not so interested in clothes and so on, which you can probably see. Actually, I think my wife bought it for me. Anyway, but the point is, does it interfere? Does materialism interfere with our worship, with our evangelism? Because if we're spending time thinking about buying the next thing, if we're spending our mind is mulling over what we'd love to do next, the next great holiday, etc., then are we spending time doing that instead of spending time reaching out to the community, doing evangelism? And I'm talking to myself as much as anyone. You know, I love reading about gadgets. Actually, yeah, I'm not saying any of this is bad. It's great to have interests. It's great to, you know, I think we should be thankful for what we have. We shouldn't be embarrassed. However, does it get in the way of us living good lives, spiritual lives? Sometimes we can be so caught up in other things that make us comfortable that little else matters. And does that happen with us sometimes? But also, I'll give you a personal example about comfort. I work in a job where I get up pretty early. I normally try and get out of the house by about 6:30. Because of that, and because I've already mentioned I'm grumpy and I need to have coffee, doing my quiet time first thing in the morning, I'd need to get up quite a bit earlier. And so I think, actually, because my mind doesn't start working until a little later, I say, no, I'm going to do my quiet time at my lunchtime. But the issue is this, if I do my quiet time at the lunchtime, and I'm not saying there is a right or wrong time of day to do it, I used to do my quiet time last thing at night, and then I'd wake up the next morning and sometimes think, oh, I better say amen, because I fell asleep during a prayer, it's not good. But the point is, what I'm trying to say is discipline is really important. And actually, it's a lot more comfortable for us to just do things in the time scale that we like. Sometimes we need to make time and put ourselves in an uncomfortable situation. Maybe it is get out early. Maybe it is turning our phone off and spending time at a lunchtime and ensuring that we make time. But if I want time with God to read the Bible and in prayer, I need to be disciplined. And you know, that can be uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable when we're making time. I mean, I thank God in the morning for coffee so that I can actually function. But I need to make time. And so just think about that. Think that through. But what about work? You know, are you tempted, whether it's work, whether it's friends, whether it's family, are we sometimes compromised with our morals in the workplace, with our relationships with neighbours? You know, do we sometimes struggle with our relationship with neighbours? So when we spend time with our neighbours, with our friends, you know, do we join in with activities which are not appropriate? Because actually, talking about comfort again, it can be uncomfortable, can't it, to say, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't think I should do this. No, I don't want to get involved in that. Sometimes it's easier for us to be quiet. We don't want to rock the boat, is the phrase. But you know, we need to say no. We need to actually be uncomfortable sometimes. If we're comfortable in our lives, can I challenge you that actually we're probably not making a stand for Christ? We're not being different enough if we're not feeling in some cases, persecuted, in some cases, pushed out of the circle of our friends. In some cases, we're not upsetting people. We need to be sensitive and we need to be loving in what we do. But you know what? We're not going to always win friends if we stand firm in our Christian walk. Remember, and this is key, it's possible to be with our friends and be with family without necessarily always joining in with the activities that we don't think are right. But also, remember, Jesus was a friend of sinners. Yeah? He was a friend of sinners. The Pharisees were having a go at him because he was spending so much time with them. So don't be afraid and don't think, oh, I shouldn't spend time with them. Actually, we should be spending time with people that need Christ, not people that fit within our own clique and have the same interests. And maybe, you know, we're not going to reach the people in Kings Langley if we spend all of our time only with ourselves. So it's just a challenge there. But also, I just want to touch on comfort in entertainment. What do we watch at home? What do we watch on the television? Is it wholesome? You know, what's available on the TV is very different to what it was even when I was younger, 20 years ago. I think it's a struggle for all of us. I like action movies. It used to be that action movies were quite well edited on TV, and so you didn't have the swear words. You didn't have as much violence. Things were edited out. Nothing's edited these days. And I'm sounding like my parents saying this now. But, you know, sex, nudity, swearing, violence, etc. You know, I think to myself, and I think most of you know that I've got two children, age 14 and 12. I think, what would they think if they were sat next to me and I'm watching this film? I think it's quite a good, it's quite a good thing to ask ourselves. But we sometimes forget, actually, there's a better question, isn't there? How does this reflect on me? How does this reflect on Christ? And would I watch this if he was sat next to me? Okay, well, the next thing, I'm sure you know what I'm going to say. He is with us. As Christians, we have God's Spirit with us. And so if we're watching something we shouldn't, actually, we don't need to say any more, do we? We need to be honest with ourselves. And we need to honour him with what we watch. So that's comfort. We've looked at comfort with material things, comfort in entertainment. Comfort in avoiding persecution. I mentioned earlier we're afraid to rock the boat living for Christ. And it's really easy here in the UK. We don't face the persecution, I don't think, that others do. Maybe the worst we're going to get is a rude comment. Some people, though, to be fair, are rejected by family, are rejected by friends. So I'm not saying that there is not persecution in the UK, absolutely. But I'm saying for most of us, we do not face persecution that many other Christians face. Some are facing hatred and torture. Today, in some parts of the world, people will die because of what they believe. Today. For no other reason, in some countries, in China, in Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, Christians who just go to church on Sundays, you know, they're risking their lives to do that. And what I'm saying is, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that just on a Sunday because that's what I want to do. You know, the point is, if you're a Christian in those countries, then you go to church on a Sunday because you want to be a Christian the whole week. Yeah, there's no lukewarm. There's no half-hearted. I think sometimes we're too comfortable that actually we can do our thing on a Sunday, but it doesn't, you know, the rest of the week it doesn't matter. In those countries, people that are Christians, it's an all or nothing deal. That's what I'm trying to say. And what I would challenge us to think of is actually, are we being true to where our heart is? Are we giving everything? Jesus did not promise an easy life for his followers. They knew what they were getting into. From John 15, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. This is what Jesus said. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So yet, we're comfortable here in the UK, and we forget sometimes that it is still an all or nothing deal. Being a Christian, it's about giving our all. It's about giving our lives, not part of our lives. Jesus gave his life for us to die for our sin, and he asked us to follow him. Not to sort of, well, I might do it a little bit. We need to give our lives to Jesus. Remember back in verse 23, take up his cross daily. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus is saying we need to be willing to go all the way to our death, if necessary, for him. As it's mentioned, some, as I mentioned earlier, some actually will do this today, will give their lives to him, will die for him. Okay, so worship comfort, very briefly. I've talked a little bit about material comfort. I'd just like us to touch on worship comfort, and I'll be really quick with this one. Two main areas. Firstly, worship styles. Sometimes we get comfortable in the way that we do things, and this is not a criticism about the way any church does things. But we can get used to the hymn sandwich. We can get used to the songs that we sing. I'm not a specific fan of one style of singing over another. You wouldn't see me jumping around, skipping around, and so on. You wouldn't see me with a tambourine because my sense of rhythm isn't very good. But hey, why not? But the point is, we can get comfortable about the way that we've always done things. And it's the same thing in business, isn't it? You know you're in trouble if your justification of why you do something is saying, well, it's because we've always done it. And I'm not saying doing something new suddenly means it's right either. Because some people always like to change things and do something new because, well, hey, but actually, we just need to be careful that we don't get comfortable in doing things just because we've already always done it. Because what does that mean? It means actually we're being religious. We're being like a Pharisee. You know, the religion, it's all things that's added to God's word. And so we need to be careful. Anyway, and giving. The second area is our giving. In worship, and you're thinking, yeah, Chris has got this wrong now. What he's talking about worship comfort, and now he's saying one of the subsections is giving. Well, giving is an act of worship. I don't know if you thought about it like that, but it's a way of us worshipping God by how much we give. We worship him with our offerings as a way of showing our love to him. And not only that, God uses those gifts to impact on his church and the world. I've heard it said, if everyone who claimed to be a Christian actually gave what the Bible teaches, then we wouldn't have to worry about all these government programs to meet the needs of our society. It's quite interesting. We read about the welfare state and child tax credits and all of the, you know, things getting cut back. And let's be honest, there is some real issues in the UK. We haven't got it all sorted. There are real issues with poverty, with homelessness. You can see the rise of food banks. But what I'm saying is the early church used to do all of that. They used to get involved so much more. And then I believe, looking at church history, that actually the church has stepped back, retracted, almost allowed itself to not get involved in that, and the government has stepped in to turn into the welfare state that it now is. But what I'm trying to say is that I think, as a church, we should do more. And we need to be, you know, we need to be quick to reach out to the needy. Christians were, let's be encourage ourselves, Christians were the ones that started up soup kitchens and homeless shelters and have started up many orphanages and so on. But needs to grow. Now, last one, comfort with outreach. The last area of comfort we'll look at. There are two forms here. Lifestyle and actually telling others about Christ. And it's difficult telling people about Christ. It's easier for me to stand here talking to you about Christ than me going out onto the street, knocking on the door and telling people about Christ. Because I'm in my comfort zone, stood here, you know, with an audience of people that have come here to actually hear God's word. So the point is, getting out of your comfort zone is quite difficult. And I think I can leave it to the pastors and the elders and think, actually, they should be doing it. David Chapman, he should be doing it all. I sometimes think that I can be too much relying on the professionals, the pastors, the elders. But actually, and this is a challenge to each one of us, we are all called to witness for Christ. All of us. It's not just pastors. We are all called to witness for Christ, both in how we live, our lifestyle, but also in what we say. Isn't it true sometimes we would rather leave it to the pastors and the elders? After all, Ephesians says God has given some to pastors and some to be evangelists and some to be teachers. True, but the next verse. Let's read the next verse. He's given people for what reason? To prepare God's people for works of service. So the pastors and the elders were given those roles to prepare God's people, us, for works of service. And those include sharing the gospel. And we should not be ashamed, should we, about our gospel, because it's great news. Remember, verse 26, whoever's ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory. Okay, that's a real challenge. So if you're embarrassed about Christ and living for him, ask God to help you to overcome it. But more fundamentally, we need to think about the state of our heart. And we need to tell people about their need for Christ. We all need Jesus Christ, don't we? We all need Jesus in our lives. And we shouldn't be ashamed to say that. I need Jesus. There'll be people in this area, and this is the really sad thing, there'll be people in this area, in Kings Langley, who will die without knowing who Christ is. How does that make you feel? We need to reach those people. So I'm sorry if I sounded a bit personal this morning. But we read earlier, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. And I'm convinced that if Christians take this passage seriously, we will see in this country a revival. In this area, we'll see revival. If Christians live in the way that we are asked to, or if we take up our cross, as Jesus said, then we will see a real work of God. Before we finish, I just want to take a few moments to talk about those here who may not know Jesus as their personal saviour. I want to just touch on what this is all about. Because we've talked a lot about the fact that it's not always easy to live for Christ. And it's not. It's not, is it? For those of us that are Christians, we know it can be difficult. But I'll tell you one thing. It's really worth it. Living for Christ, there are no regrets there. Why? Because there's no life like living for Christ. And the reason I say that, because God promises us a full life. Yeah? How much of our lives do we find we are frustrated? How much of our lives do we feel that we just don't maybe fit in, or we're not happy? Or actually, why does God allow this to happen? And that can happen so much in our lives. But when we are filled with Christ, when we turn and follow Christ, we can live life to the full. Why? Because God created us to have a relationship with him. That's why. It's about us, our lives, being restored, brought back to the way that God created us. And that doesn't mean everything will be perfect. We will still have health issues. There will still be problems in this world. Being a Christian doesn't make it all suddenly right. But it does mean that our Creator, the person who knows us better than anyone else, is with us, is alongside us, is living in us. We're all sinners, aren't we? We are all sinners. The Bible says the wages of sin, the cost of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. We deserve hell, and Jesus offers us heaven for everyone that takes it. And what a wonderful promise that is, that we are offered heaven if we accept what Jesus offers us. So call on him today. We all need to ask Jesus to restore us, because I'm sure in our walk with God, many of us here need to grow closer. We talk about growing the number of people in this church, and let's pray that more people come, but at the same time, we need to grow our own spiritual lives too. So let's just pray now.